Everyone thinks that I'm going to get rich and I'm going to quit my job and do nothing. That's broke people shit. Right? People that have actually, I've got clients just sitting on stage yesterday, a single lady, 21 investment properties. She's still working and she's in her 60s. What a fucking weapon.
That is insane.
You know what I mean? Like, only people who go, oh, I'm going to go and invest or build a business and be an e-com fucking life coach in mum and dad's garage or NLP guru or some shit because they did a course. Well, now they're a Wim Hof instructor or something and they do ice baths every day because they're doing the work, right? And they got some get rich quick and then they're going to be able to quit and sell and exit for billions. Doesn't fucking work like that.
No.
People who are good at what they do, that love the chase, that want to change people's lives, that are actually going to build something that's going to impact people globally, they don't want to quit work. They don't want to retire. They want to make change. They want to have impact.
It's true. It's true.
Where did change start for you, the drive to make impact?
Oh, fuck. Housing commission kid, victim of horrific domestic violence at 6 months old. I've had four, they call it a septo-rhinoplasty.
Oh, I had that.
I had four nose reconstructions and I still have a head like a drop meat pie. So I still got a head for radio. No, we should turn the camera off, but it's more for podcast only. But coming, growing up, like it was just mum and I. Mum worked multiple jobs, day shift, night shift. Grandparents would help raise me. I had adopted parents growing up in the Gong. So mostly migrant population, playing soccer. I've got a lot of adopted family. That took me in as their own as the poor little kid and fed me and helped get me to and from soccer and school and sport and all that sort of jazz. So for me, it started at a young age that mum and I had nothing. She worked her guts out, right? She did so fucking good. But compared to my friends that had the cool bike or the nice car, like we had a Mitsubishi, or first we had this like 1976 green two-door Toyota Corolla that like she'd have to clutch start all the time. You know what I mean? Like it was just a bomb.
So you lived in Housing Commission, right?
Yeah, Housing Commission kid. Firstly, one-bedroom unit in a little place called Corrimal. And then we did like a swap. So back in the day, you could actually put up, if you're a houseo and a houseo, you could actually put back up in the Trading Post and the Illawarra Mercury, say, hey, looking to swap a one-bedroom unit for a three-bedroom house. Like literally, it's like the castle, like straight to the pool. Hey, Dad, bloke's selling a set of jet. Like literally, Mum put a thing up and we Housing Commission swapped with what we had to what someone else needed. And you like work your way up into a better place or a better area if anyone's crazy enough to swap with you.
What?
So yeah, I grew up, you know, it was tough. But I still remember being entrepreneurial, really young age in that unit. I don't know, maybe six or seven, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, however old I was. I remember going over and the lady across from us, they're a really wealthy family, like up the road a bit, she had this prize-winning rose garden. And Mother's Day was coming up, so I decided to take scissors and go and cut all of her roses and come home and actually wrap foil around them. And I even got the foil from the neighbour who must have thought I was so cute because we didn't have any alfoil. So the neighbour lent me the foil, thought, oh, it's so cute. And then I went and proceeded to, you know, wrap up a rose in the foil, in the stem and all the thorns. And then I went and actually the first place I sold them back to was the lady I stole them from. when I knocked on the door, I'm like, hey, you like roses? You know, and growing up, the story, my family and parents and grandmas are like, you went and sold the roses to the lady you stole them from, but she bought them because it was so cute. Your intentions were pure. You didn't steal.
Yeah.
Your intentions were, again, my intentions were to buy mum a present and we had nothing. So, but it's good to share that story and get a bit emotional for a second because every year we donate hundreds, if not thousands, of Christmas presents to the Salvation Army Kmart Wishing Tree Appeal. And that's because for many, many years, the only present I got was from a stranger from the Salvos from the Wishing Tree Appeal. I think it was called the Lord Mayor's Wishing Tree in Wollongong back then. So that's a huge thing, man. All the team, every year, all of our clients, all of our community. Like we'll go in there and take over a Kmart all around Australia where offices are and clients, and we'll get 56 and we'll just go run through and fill pallets and cages, not trolleys, full of gifts so that some kid that's going without actually gets a present. And they go, shit, someone like, so for me, there's some deep-rooted shit there, so I'm a little bit fucked up in the head. I'm not a normal dude, but I'm wired for people to not experience that. Yep. And the banks, I want to, besides tax, the banks are the other biggest contributing factor to people feeling financially fucked. So your childhood is what sets the scene. That's the scar tissue. But then when you're growing up, you hang on to that shit.
So do you think the whole reason why you've set out on this task to absolutely dominate the space and obviously gain wealth and all that sort of stuff is mainly because of your childhood and upbringing?
I'd say so, yeah. I mean, and Oprah did a thing years ago and she was like, they did this big survey on billionaires and millionaires and people that are running huge charity organisations and they all had massive fucking trauma growing up. Mm. So I'm not saying fuck up your kids. I mean, we do a pretty good job of it anyway. We're not really present parents. Here's an iPad. But a lot of people have been through a lot of trauma, a lot of scar tissue, damage. We've all got a sad story. Don't get me wrong. What Jelly say this year? The windscreen's bigger than the rearview mirror, so just go forward. I don't hang on to that shit, but I'm very aware from some Tony Robbins and this and that. I'm very aware that until a few years ago, I was a shit bloke.
Mm. Wow. But,
so I'm very aware of that, right? So it's taken me several years, maybe 2017, 18, to rebuild me as a person. Any of my team will tell you, like, I wasn't a leader, I was a shit boss, I was a shit bloke. I actually don't know I felt I was purpose driven, but it was all bullshit. It was all front.
What changed?
I don't know. I went through a pretty rough time, testified in an ASIC case, and testifying in that ASIC case, I then spent about 10 months with fake attacks online until I finally did an ABC News interview about it. The culprits were the people I was testifying against, and it all, all come to a head. But, when you get fake posts about you on the internet these days and defamed, I was ready to pack up my toys and or throw the toys out of the cot and retire. I was like, wow. No, I'm done. And then I went, actually, you can't fucking beat somebody who doesn't quit. And I am purpose driven. So I think sometimes you need to give yourself an uppercut and go like, what do I actually stand for? Who am I? What do I stand for? And am I making massive impact? Because if I'm not making massive impact, then I've probably got a job which stands for just over broke. And I talk to all of my team about, I call it the grocery owner. If you're here to keep the lights on, pay the rent or the mortgage and buy the groceries, you do not work in my community because that's just over broke. And I don't accept that for the average family because it's like you go through life and you're on this fucking wheel of like, got to work, got to provide for the kids. And you might have heard me say on stage yesterday, here's a hot tip for everyone. Stop buying your kids shit that you never had.
Yeah,
that's and start powerful, teaching them the shit that you were never taught. Because a kid will rather take the coffee cup or the car key or the phone or than some fancy fucking toy. We buy Gucci shoes with bees on them. Your feet can't fucking fly and they ain't producing honey. Go figure. What's the fucking fascination with the bees, right? Or the belts. So I think for me, having a bit of a... I'm actually really appreciative of it to the guys who did it to me because they actually built me.
Yeah.
Wow. And I have a saying now that a successful man or woman is the person that takes bricks that other people throw at them for free, stacks them and later on builds an empire with free fucking bricks. And that's what I did. I put gloves on, I strapped in and went, nah, I'm not going to cop this because I'm bigger than what you're having a crack at. And I think adversity is what creates people. I don't think we all wake up one day and go, oh, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm purpose driven and I just did my ticket in this and my course in that. It's like you have to have something that truly rattles you or nearly lose everything. You've got to hit rock bottom before you actually are fearful enough of ever being there again. You've got to go hungry. You've got to be tired. You've got to be financially deprived or broke. Like when you experience that, and anyone you talk to who's successful usually has.
Yeah. So how do you, I know there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this that may potentially be in a position where there is a lot of financial stress on themselves and their personal life and are struggling to pay the mortgage and what have you. How did you navigate those hard times when you didn't have money? How did you relieve that stress in your head? Because I know it's a dark cloud that can hang over you.
It's pretty rough. I was married and divorced within 12 months and I'm not bitter at all. Lovely lady, not bitter at all. And she went pear-shaped. And I came out with $248,000 of debt and pretty much on the verge of bankruptcy. And that was 2012.
You're kidding.
No. Wow. And 2016... the wanky version of me bought a $6.15 million house on deep water in Burraneer Bay. And I had all the gear and no idea. And I thought I was killing it. And that was the Housing Commission kid going, I need the car, I need the house, I need the clothes, I need to provide for everybody else. But when you take it back to its core, people are struggling, right? And they think, well, shit, where do I go? What do? How do I get out of it? I've been there. How I got out of it, step one was start a fucking budget. Actually, step two was be really fucking honest with myself. Like, what am I doing with my money? What, even with what little money you have, when you're in those dark times and you're like, the only light at the end of the tunnel is a fucking train, right? And a lot of people have been there in different times of their life for different reasons. But it's not a train. You just have to sit and go, okay, even if I've got this much money and I'm eating 2-minute noodles 7 different ways. I mean, noodles can go a long way, right? You can do a bit of barbecue chook on special, a bit of barbecue sauce on the chook, a bit of Kewpie pie mayo. Like, I got the Howzo cookbook of 2-minute noodles, sweet chili, put some egg in them. There's some cool shit. You can make it go a long way. So realistically, in dark times, you could feed yourself for next to nothing.
Mm.
But we don't do that as humans. We still deserve the coffee or the energy drink, right? Mm. Because we deserve it. We work so hard or we're struggling so much. So the moment you can actually take yourself away from instant gratification and you can look for delayed gratification, you'll fucking crush it in life financially. Mm. And not just financially. Jim, I say I'm in shape, rounds of shape, scientifically. I've gone from 138 kilos down to 88 kilos.
Wow.
I'm sitting at about probably $120 at the moment. I'll go do a retreat in the break now in Thailand, come back, and my sole focus of appointed a CEO, my sole focus will be my health because I want to have children soon.
Wow.
So where your focus, like where energy goes, focus, that's what's going to happen, right? So if you're struggling right now, the first thing is being honest with yourself. Why are you struggling? Like if you're in the club on the Friday night, popping bottles, brand name clothes, but not paying your car payment, yeah, something wrong, yeah? So you've got to be honest with yourself because we don't deserve, what we do deserve is to put our kids through a good education, to pay for surgery if we needed a medical procedure, to go on a vacation, whether it's to the caravan park at fucking Dapto or Ulladulla Mollymook or whatever, or whether it's to go to the Bahamas or maybe go to Bali on the Bintangs, whatever floats your boat. But you have to be honest with yourself. Then when you're honest with yourself, you can work with it and go, right, I need to work out a budget. I need to work out what I'm spending on what and when and what's a need versus a want. And it all starts there. Some of my worst clients financially are some of the biggest earners in Australia.
Bad income.
Earn more, spend more. I'm talking barristers, lawyers, surgeons. They just live on American Express. They get points. I mean, fuck, it's only 80,000 points for a toaster. You get 2 points per dollar spent. That's a $40,000 fucking toaster. I'll just go to Good Guys and buy one for $60. You know, so we get caught up in this shit. We love feeling smart. You might have heard me say on stage yesterday, humans go away from discomfort, but you've actually got to lean into the discomfort. So when they're dark, you got to lean into that shit and own it and go, this is shit. It feels bad. Harness that, and that's what will take you away from it forever. You listen to some of the saddest stories in the world, they've harnessed that. Yeah, like I'm driven by the fear of none. I grew up with none. I'm talking Salvos and St. Vincent's de Paul come and reconnected our electricity and paid the bill. Do I remember Black and Gold or Jewel? Yeah. You guys might be a bit young, right? Black and Gold, home brand food and Jewel, like stacked baked beans, like tinned food just so we could survive, pay the electricity bill, pay the rental arrears to the fucking Department of Health, like tough shit, right, that kids shouldn't remember. So I'm actually driven by a lot of that. I don't think anyone's kids should listen to mum and dad arguing about money behind the door and they think it's private. Your kids hear that shit. It's deep-seated shit.
It is, isn't it? And so going through that, obviously you've used it as the right type of fuel to get you to where you are, but I know from my experience that type of fuel's not healthy long-term.
No.
How have you gone... To what of your extent now is spiritual or you're working on yourself to shift the energy so you can have success financially, build a great career, serve others, but then also to fill your cup, be connected and not burn out?
Mm. It's a good one. I had to have a drip last night because I was losing my voice and starting still a bit croaky now after like multiple events. We had a black tie ball event before the stage the other night. So you've got to fill your own cup up first. I'm pretty bad at that, to be honest. People talk about work-life balance. Spiritually, yeah, I'm not too deep into the woo-woo. Like I'm not someone who can turn my brain off and meditate. I can fucking try. But I'm really shit at it. There's a lot of noise, right? Like sometimes I'll be up working till 2 a.m. because I don't want to go to sleep until I've responded to the last DM. Like I got to start, I didn't get to sleep till 2:30 this morning because I got off stage yesterday. I responded personally. The guy said, and they're like, just let him go. I respond to every single DM. Every single DM. So I actually struggle with that, to be clear. That's why I've just hired a CEO to put my business under management to do what I love, which is communicating with people, teaching them. But I'm not someone who has a very balanced will. I wouldn't say do what I do in your personal world. I'm all or nothing, balls to the wall. I'm going to break the fucking financial services sector if it breaks me. I don't care. It's not about me. I'm going to break the industry. The industry's fucking broken.
How are you going to do that?
Well, firstly, FTB, so a little bit of fuck the banks will help. And we don't get a Christmas card with any lube, so I'm not going to give them any lube. I'm coming in rough.
Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. So, I mean, when you look at that, they're making $1,500 a pop across the top four, that $32.5 billion of adults. Like, that, I don't think that's big business. I think it's criminal. Like, how are you making $1,500 a head for every adult in the country when they don't even do business with you on average? Take it away to the people that actually do business with them. They're making thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars across just those four.
And that's profit too, not even
profit, revenue. Not revenue, not turn, which broke people talk about revenue and turnover, right? Oh, I don't pay any tax. Then you're fucking broke, right? You pay tax, it's the success fee. That's a good one for your self-employed listeners, guys. If you pay tax, it's a success fee. Sure as shit, carry packer the hell out of it and minimize your tax. But if you're not paying any tax, you're not making any money. You can't hide all of it. I pay a fucking shitload of tax, and I'm happy to. Roads, schools, Medicare, you name it.
So are you tax versus low doc?
Sorry?
Would you go pay your tax versus doing a low doc?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. When you become a sophisticated investor, I have a never-ending borrowing capacity. I'm not saying it to be facetious. I bought a property for $1.75 million. And I just sold it for 2.15. It's a gross profit of 400 grand in like 14 months. I didn't buy one. I bought 14 in one location. So I buy them. Here's a big problem, actually. Anyone who's got real estate, any of your listeners, people buy and hold and they go, my investment strategy is buy and hold. That's cute. It's probably been around since Adam and Eve. Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve, God, Buddha, Allah, right? Whatever you believe in, that's cool. But buy and hold isn't a strategy. That's just called time in the market.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as timing the market, but it's just time in the market will give you a return. I don't flip. I don't hold. What I do is monitor that. I have a saying, I'm greedy because I'm not greedy. So if I can buy any investment, bottle of water, and I can buy it for $5 and I can sell it for 25 a year later, and the government gives me a 50% capital gains discount because I stayed in the economy for more than a year, people think that I should never sell the property because I'm going to pay heaps of tax. Well, you don't pay tax on half of it. Like, talk to your accountant. Like, same as you might have heard me say, I said, oh, who's heard that property doubles in value every 7 years? No, if it grows 7% year on year on year for 10 years, then it doubles. So we've got all this bullshit motherhood. I drive a Hilux because they're unbreakable. Like, we've got all this bullshit I'm trying to get at you that we actually live off these motherhood statements. We live off these misconceptions. And that's what fucks us up financially. So if we're going to beat the banks, we've got to stop listening to the lamestream, mainstream media. That might have been deliberate. We've got to stop listening to the lamestream media. We've got to stop listening to banks, marketing departments. But sure as shit, we've got to stop listening to friends and family. We don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Why a Hilux? That's an ad. I drive a Hilux because they're unbreakable. What about an Amarok? What about a Raptor? What about, I don't fucking know, whatever other, a fucking Cybertruck. I don't know. They're quicker than a Porsche, apparently. Towing a Porsche. Like, where do we actually start to take some self-accountability and go, I'm doing the same dumb shit that my parents did and they're on a pension? Why? Now, I know that advice comes from a loving place. It comes from the heart. But why would you do what your parents did if they're not financially secure? Why would you do what your fucking sister does if your sister's got a little bit of a nicer car than you? Family want to see you do well, just not fucking better than them. That's when shit goes pear-shaped.
That's true.
So look, first step, beat the bank. You got to be honest with yourself, right? For all of you, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to figure out what you're spending. You have to know what you actually want to. I think the biggest problem for everyone is, if I said to you right now, what do you want more than anything in life right now?
Man, I don't even, Just work goals. Those are my main things at the moment.
This is deep. He's like, fuck, I don't know. He's got me. Work goals. What do you want more than anything in life right now?
To enjoy the passage of time and have a crack.
Oh, that's some spiritual shit. I like
that.
So, you know what everyone says to me? Financial freedom. And I feel like they're going to bend over and get an arrow in the ass like it's a Braveheart scene. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Do you know, like, seriously, financial freedom or... So, you know, we have these sayings, right? And I'm like, cool. And I call it the 7 steps to why. Okay, now what does that... And I'm like a 7-year-old kid. I annoy the shit out of him. I'm like, what does that mean? But why? If someone says to me financial freedom, I'm like, why? They're like, oh, just to be comfortable in retirement. Why? And I just keep going until they want to punch me out. Wow. And when they say to me, like me, I'm up till 2:30, the alarm goes off at Sparrow Fart, my fucking 2 feet hit the ground in the morning, I know what my why is. My why is I want children. And I sure as shit, we've had a tiger mum, like a tiger mum, like they're annoying, like they're at everything. They walk the kids to school or ride the bikes. They do the reading class. They're in the fucking canteen. They're like driving them to sport. That fucking annoying parent that you're like, oh, not Mr. Home again. You know, that's going to be me because I lacked that.
Yeah.
So a biggest two parts of my purpose and why when my feet hit the ground every day when the alarm goes off and I'm fucking tired is I won't work when I have children because I won't need to.
Wow.
So I'll outwork everyone right now. No matter what the results are, my effort is second to none. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone. I don't wear it as a badge of honor, but I'm purpose-built that when I have children, I will not have to need to work. That when I have children and the baby cries in the middle of the night, my wife can stay asleep because she'll be fucking tired, right? So I'm very purpose-driven to want to provide because it's the biggest thing that I lacked. Mum was always at work. Everybody else helped raise me as well as mum. That's a struggle. Like that would be hard for her. So every day when I get out of bed, I know what I'm doing. And it's because people say, oh, I want to work and make money so I don't have to work. It's not about the money for me. It's about being super present one day as a parent. I'll still work. I'll have business interests. I've got to invest. I'll still put effort in, but it'll be on my terms. It won't be just over broke.
Wow. I can relate to that a lot.
Can you?
Fucking oath.
Elaborate.
Mate, that's that. If I was to say my progression in career, that's to achieve what your vision is.
It's not to not work. Yeah. Like, it's not to not work. It's to actually be in a position present. Where choice is my number one thing on my vision board. Choose to get out of bed. Choose to go back to sleep. Choose to talk to someone. Choose not to. Choice is my number one thing on my agenda.
Love that. Now... there's going to be a lot of brokers that listen to this that may know your story.
Yeah, most of them fucking hate me, but that's okay. Some of them I get along with really well.
Nah, don't worry about them. Fuck them too.
Yeah, fuck them. Nah.
There's also going to be a lot of real estate agents that may not necessarily know who you are.
I know. I made that mistake. I'm a full corporate real estate license in most states as well. So
have you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I still practice in a couple of states.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for the guys that don't know you... can we give a bit of background to how you started Infinity? Where is it at now? How much staff you have and what your role entails?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oof, where do I begin? 2012, my lovely wife, Rebecca, she's actually the brains and the beauty of the operation. I just say my job every day is to not make her look bad. If I can not make her look bad, we'll look okay. That's my job, to not fuck it up. She's the brains and the authority that she doesn't say much, but when she does, it carries weight. And when we were first together, she's actually my personal trainer. And she was challenging me a lot. So she was training me. I was teaching her a bit of finance. She did her diploma of financial planning, diploma of mortgage broking, and her Queensland and New South Wales real estate license all in like 12 months, 18 months. And wow. I was like, wow, if that's the... I'm not picking on her, but if that's the standard of these industries for us to do a 3-day course to be a real estate agent or a 3-day course to do a cert for in mortgage broke, cool. You've got the theory, but what's the practical? So for all these new people starting out, I'm not shit-canning, it's like you've got the theory, right? Now you've got to go into the practical. And what she did really well for me was like, you're telling me that you give someone a credit card and an offset account and they pay the minimum payment on their loan. They live off the credit card and then they clear the credit card from all the money in the offset account. I'm like, yeah, that's like the normal package. And she's like, that's some dumb shit. That's like letting a personal training client go to Macca's on the way home from the gym. Do you know, like, she gave me a different perspective and a different thought process. I went, oh. And she's like, if I train you in the morning, I text you later on and say, what are you eating for lunch? Or in, after the session, have you packed your lunch? Have you had your sups? And I'm like, yeah. So there's a lot of articles previously from the MPA magazine on us calling us a personal trainer for your finances. Don't look like the trainer, look like the client. But that was a big shift for me in 2012 to go, if you don't put people on a budget, if you don't actually create an accountability and a structure for them, they've got no consistency. So they'll just tap the credit card, and when it runs out, they'll clear it from the bank, and they can go backwards really fast. So it just started with Beck and I, but it was sort of 6 months of R&D. I'd gone through a divorce. We locked ourselves away from the world for 6 months. We went off social media for about 2.5 years.
Wow.
Which is a big thing. I think 2012 is not that long ago, 11 years. No social media, locked ourselves away from the world. Every wall was a stick-on whiteboard. You can just get them at Officeworks and peel them off, fill them up, clean them, fill them up, and rip apart what she enlightened to me was broken in the industry. I've been doing this for 23 years now, like went into banking at like 18, and I was a wanker banker. And she really enlightened me into, we're doing it wrong. The entire industry, pretty much, not all, but nearly all, are just flogging a product or providing a service, getting a commission, and that's it. And that's transactional. What we built, we know, is transformational. So our journey starts with the client just when we actually settle alone. So that for, it was her, myself, her auntie is a receptionist many years ago, little old Port Macquarie. We're now, I think, 60-plus staff in the Queensland office, 20-plus staff in the Sydney office, and we've got ads up for about 16 roles at the moment, from CMOs to COOs. I've actually literally about 4 weeks ago just appointed a CEO and fired myself as a founder.
Wow.
So if you go, you know, 10 years is a long journey, but we've got a lot of arms of the business. So our biggest, most important arm of the business is like private bank of mum and dad. So we don't just sell you the loan. We structure the loan. We won't take you on as a client unless you actually follow the structure, and we'll sack you as a client if you don't follow it. We only want customers that will pay their loan off in 10 to 15 years. And then we give them a full-time financial coach who's talking to them each week, trolling through their bank transactions, smacking them if they overspend, giving them like a written warning, like detention, like, gee, we'll sack you, don't do this again. So we're in a fortunate position. People struggle with it. We're a fee-for-service business. We charge a small fortune. It's an investment for mum and dad to actually even become a client. Now, there's a lot of brokers out there and real estate agents. Guys and girls, your professional services, like an accountant, like a lawyer, okay? You should be remunerated for your skills, knowledge, experience, and time. And there's a great little reel for you to clip in this. If you are real estate, broking, etc., you are professional services. Value your time. Respect your time, and you should charge for your time. That's a not negotiable. You shouldn't be hoping that there's a transaction and you go, I'm free. Nothing's fucking free, right? And I will win hands down over a broker that's free every day, and I'll charge a good fee.
So you'll charge an upfront fee and then get paid from the banks as well?
Sometimes we'll get a commission as well. It's all disclosed.
Wow.
But we're not just riding alone. I'm going to give you a full-time financial coach. I'm going to give you a product that no one else in Australia's got. So there's a bit of a segue. 30-year home loan. Woo! I've got one of Australia's largest banks, I won't pick on them too much, that give me a product branded as my company, Infinity, and it's just a 10-year home loan.
Wow.
But you can redraw it out to 30 and be a normal person and pay minimum payments, but you can pay it off in 10. So the types of products that Bob the broker, who, if someone's starting out and they're listening to this and you're a broker and you're a credit representative, you need to make sure that you're aligned with somebody with a credit license that is large enough to get access to different products. That makes sense, like white label lending. Don't go into ThefPack and pick fucking loan A off the shelf and go, woo, I said it on stage yesterday, and everyone in the crowd like, you got the fucking same loan as you. How good are you doing? Woo, oh, and you've got it, and you've got it, and you've got, like, that's the shitty off-the-shelf product that makes the bank its maximum amount of product profit. But it's branded as a whiz bang premier professional fucking dickhead package. And everyone's like, oh, I've got a great product. It's just off the shelf shit. Like, I'm pretty chunky at the moment again. If I want to look good in a suit, I've got to go to a tailor. You're going to take a 30-year financial commitment where if you borrow $500,000 today in 2023 at 6.5%, you're going to pay back $1.137 million roughly. That's $637,000 plus the $500 you borrowed. Now, to be really scary, it's not 6.5% per annum. That's 127% over 30 years. You're going to pay back the $500 you borrowed plus another $630 odd in interest.
What happens over a 10-year?
Over a 10-year?
Yeah.
You're going to diminish that and you're only going to pay $100,000 or $200,000 in interest.
Wow.
So you'll literally save, on that one, you probably save about $479,000 in interest.
What would be your weekly repayment or monthly repayment difference between a 10-year and that 30-year?
This is a really good question. You're going to get me fucking fired up here. There's no such thing as minimum repayments. Yeah, see your faces? I hope that there's a camera behind me on your faces, right? Some deep shit. Worrying about the minimum repayment over 30 years guarantees bank profits and guarantees you pay the maximum amount of interest over the longest period of time. Every single yourselves, you guys aren't dumb. Everyone on the planet, right? Brokers don't get this. And I laugh. I'm like, guys, you're accredited. You're in my industry. Fuck, we're in a different race. You're not even on the fucking track. Paying the minimum payment means you are guaranteeing, say on a $2,500 loan, I used the example yesterday on the slides of someone with a great rate. They were 4.29. They're like, my rate's great. They're paying $2,500 a month, but the interest component is like $1,700 a month. So if you pay minimum repayments and you think that you want the lowest possible minimum repayment, you will be broke. Broke. Interest is calculated daily. So if interest is calculated daily, should you pay the minimum and go, I only pay $2,000 a month versus someone who goes, I dumped $10,000 in my loan and I'm $8,000 ahead. I know it's weird, right? But I can give someone, I can give someone a loan at 8% per annum over 10 years and they own it in 10 years, yet you can give someone a loan at 4% per annum over 30. Now, everybody's wired to go, you want 8% or 4%? You'd want
the cheaper, 4. Right, yeah.
The cheaper, it's actually dearer.
Yeah.
Because you're paying a lower interest rate, but over a longer period of time. If I don't pay interest for 20 years, I'm saving money, right?
How many of your clients struggle to make those repayments for a 10-year loan? Because obviously it's going to be more.
Yeah, people think it's a big issue for serviceability and it's not. I mean, we actually have an application based. So I get on stage yesterday, people invest in a course, always do a money back guarantee. If I can't save you $25,000, I'll give you your money back and you got an education for free. I'm the dumbass, the risk's on me. But if you've got a job and you've got an income that got the, you know, sustain the approval of your loan. If you got a loan for $500,000 last month and you got a job, same job still, and you're not collecting stamps in mum and dad's garage, I can usually do it in 10, 12 years.
Wow.
But you've got to remember, interest is calculated daily. Don't think about minimum payments, and there's no such thing as savings. And that's the problem. A lot of my industry struggle with what I actually teach, yet I've got some of the biggest names in the industry consulting to my organization to launch these products I'm talking about. They're not even in the market right now. They're only for my clients and my community.
Yeah,
like literally in a loan contract from one of the biggest banks in Australia right now, it has, yep, you can pay it off over 30, but based on what you've worked on with Infinity, your strategy is to do it in 10. That's in the legal thick packet of loan documents, my brand with one of the biggest banks in Australia.
So something that it sounds to me is the goal is to have your structure so you can pay it off over 10 years. All your income, salary credits, rental income goes into either the offset or the redraw. You're a big fan of redraw.
Preferably the redraw.
Can you explain the difference between the two?
For those offset is meant to be exactly the same as redraw, right? Yeah. And look, and by the way, just caveat, not everyone wants to own their home in 10 years. Like you've got to be a pretty, come from a really shit position and be scared, or you've got to be pretty fucking motivated. Because if you look at $2,500 a month as a payment, right, and you're going to do that for 20 years, 240 months, that's $600,000 of minimum repayments. I'd rather be able to smash that now to have it later, if that makes sense. So this isn't for everyone, but if you want to do whatever the fuck you want for the rest of your life, you need to haul ass now.
Yeah.
So people get stuck on all of it, but having a loan that they used to have these in the 80s and the 90s, right? And people paid their loans off really quick. If you look when offset accounts were introduced, it's because A, human beings are impulsive. B, we tend to spend what we've got direct access to. So if it's a credit card, tap, tap, aroo. Fuck, why do I feel like I live in a zoo? You know what I mean? And then you spend everything in the account. Statistically, if people stop using a credit card, now, okay, go back to offsets for a second. The marketing is so strong on offset accounts that even the industry thinks they're good. Now, I make bets with brokers every day and clients. I say, cool, just try me out. Stop using an offset account for 90 days. I want you to get a loan product, if it suits your circumstances, by the way. Get some advice. Get a loan product that has free unlimited redraw. Put 100% of what you earn on payday into the loan. Let's say it's 10 grand a month. Once that 10 grand hits your loan, can the bank charge calculate interest every day on the 10 grand? They can't. The debt doesn't exist. Mm. Now, you can incrementally withdraw and go, I need 700 bucks for grocery. I call it food, fuel, and fun. Mm. Yeah? Incrementally take out your 700, 750 bucks. You thought, whatever the number is. But what you're doing is they can't charge you or calculate any interest on the money that's been reduced off the debt. Now, psychologically, here's the biggest one. Psychologically, when you go to spend money and you go to tap, if there's only $86 in your bank account on Friday night and you don't get your next $700 till Monday and you're at the pub with the boys and the missus is at home waiting for you to come home, are you going to buy the next round of drinks for $60?
No.
Unless you want to sleep in the garden, right? If she even lets you in the house, you ain't spending that $86, are you? Now, let me flip it. And that's if you've got, say, $8,000 in your redraw. Let's change this scenario. You've now got $8,000 in your offset account. And the boy's like, your shout. Can you buy the round for $60, $80?
You can still tap your offset account card.
Boom. See that? See the psychology in money for someone when they understand it? Money's not real. Shitcoin, Australia coin, fucking Bitcoin, whatever, right? You can make this shit up now. I think there is Australia coin with a meat pie on the front of it and a thong. I'm dead set serious. Google that shit. Right? Like, you can just make it up now and be a fucking crypto lord. So I don't understand it, by the way, so I just stay away from it. Not regulated. But you can understand the psychology. The other one, I'll give a really good example. I don't mind naming and shaming him. I'll call him Shareholder Gains, G-A-N-Z. from the mid-1990s to about 2021, they got caught overcharging fees and not linking offset accounts to around 600,000 customers.
Wow.
It was over $200 million. Now, if you go from mid-1990s to 2021, let's call it 20, 25 years, how many by the way, they haven't given all the money back. This is 2 years ago. How many and you can go up and Google ANZ offset account failure ASIC. The Australian Securities and Investments Commission sat down with them and agreed that a $25 million fine was appropriate for stealing $200 million of families' money of not linking the offset accounts at all. And ANZ admitted that its systems, processes and procedures were not good enough, including, say, perhaps when you got your pay on a Saturday, on a weekend or a public holiday. So in other words, they weren't offsetting shit. How many families got divorced? How many families lost their homes in the GFC or the COVID era? Like, how many families and livelihoods were fucking destroyed and ANZ are still trying to locate their customer? Fucking give me a break. Now, how come? So let's go back. 100 grand loan, 100 grand offset, yeah? You have zero interest. Well, of course they work, don't they? How come the people with a home loan of 100 and another one of 286 and another one of 50 for the pool reno and three offset accounts, they're the ones that got fucking pumped? So I'm not saying it's an algorithm. Isn't that interesting? So those 600,000 customers for why wasn't it 287 million? Why was it $200 million almost exactly? And why was it 600,000 customers for a system glitch? That's a long fucking system glitch. If I have a system glitch for a day, I can lose my license. ANZ can pay a $25 million fine. So one, I don't trust banks. Fuck them, right? Got to work with them. Some of them love me. Some of them hate me. I think it's criminal. It's an oligopoly. There's four big banks, right? And they don't have to do risky lending. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want. They're a huge facet of the Australian economy. They get away with murder, right? So, but the offset thing really pisses me off, like really pisses me off, because it's so heavily ingrained that even people listening to this go, this guy's a fucking wanker.
Mm.
Cool. All right. Come and meet one of my clients at an event that paid their loan off in 1.6 years when they stopped using an offset and started using redraw. I'm telling them this for free. I said it yesterday for free, right? So it's psychology of money. So the number one thing, offsets, if you just stick money in it and you don't touch it and it's linked, it's sweet. I totally agree. Is that how Australian families live and operate?
Why do you think brokers don't understand this? And yeah, why do you think they don't understand this?
There's not enough training in the industry. I think there's about 20,000 brokers in Australia.
It's fucked.
Right? It's fucked, right? CPD points, they do an online tick and flick. Real estate's the same, let's be clear.
None of the BDMs know, none of the fucking aggregators know.
It's fucked, right? Now, there are some really cool people that are pointing. I've got a lot of them consulting to me in the background because I really want to break the industry and I'm going to do something big in the next 12 months that's really going to take the industry to task. But
can we get a hint?
Maybe at the end. Some of the biggest names in the industry, I'm talking deputy chairs, people on boards, like some really highly regarded people that agree with my principles and know they're right and audited. Like I've had big top tier firms, like consulting accounting firms, audit what I'm talking about. Because wow. When you do, people get awards, right? Number one broker, woo! Man, you nominate yourself. Let's be very fucking clear. Sorry, not sorry. Or if you don't nominate yourself, a client does or a BDM does. Every industry's the fucking same. Cool. It's great credibility. But you can nominate yourself. And then if you are nominated or you nominate yourself, and I know this might piss people off, but I've got lots of awards from people nominating me or me entering, then you've got to do a submission. And it's like an MBA assignment. These days, I can't even be fucking asked because I'm busy, right? So when you've got an industry where the accolades and things that are judged by peers, this and you set, like, it's a bit tricky. It's not like a customer actually going and doing it all for you and saying, hey, I got this result. But those awards get audited and the results get audited. And look, these brokers don't know about it because they just don't have the knowledge. You don't know what you don't know. But you think you do. You know, you got your nice suit on and you're rolling up to your meeting. You think you don't know shit from clay in some cases, but you don't. What I know today compared to what I knew 2 years ago, 5 years ago, I'm embarrassed. Like literally, I was a bank manager at 21. I only bought my first home at 21. I was the home loan manager and the bank manager at 20, 21. I was telling people what to do and I was renting. Like if I'm going to get an investment loan, do I want someone to give me an investment loan that's never bought an investment property or had an investment loan?
No.
So how many brokers out there, guys and girls, do you have an investment loan? And if you're doing investment lending, have you actually ever operated an investment loan? Have you ever received tax deductions? And I'm not going to pick on all the buyer's agents, but have you actually bought and sold multiple properties yourself or have you only got one? There's some high-profile people in our industries that literally have only just got their first home. And I'm like, that's cool and I love the content, I love what you're doing, but people are flocking to them for advice. And I'm like, everyone can get one, nearly everyone can get two. No one can get past two. They get stuck. And that's because we all make our old home our first home. We'll talk about that later. But in answer to your question, really, you don't know what you don't know, right? So we all think we know all this shit. We're all over it. I didn't know what I know today 2 years ago, right? Knowledge is power, but you've got to then execute it and you can't be ignorant to it. Like I see threads and forums on myself now going, oh, this guy says don't use offset, this, that, the other. That's really bad because when you move out of your home and make it an investment property, now it's not leveraged with debt. And I just laugh and I'm like, you fucking moron. And that's a really highly regarded broker who wrote that comment. Cash and equity are not the same thing. So here's the problem with that comment from that highly respected broker. If you assume you make an ass out of you and me, if you make an assumption that someone should buy a home, it goes up in value, you pay the debt down and you buy a new home and you keep the old one, that is the fucking worst advice in Australian financial services ever. And everyone does it, right?
Wait, so...
It's going to rock your brain.
Yeah, say this again.
So you buy a home, right?
An owner-occ.
Yeah. You buy an owner-occ home and it's worth 500 grand and you borrowed 80%, which is 400. 10 years later, the home's gone from 500 to 750. it's gone up 250. The debt's dropped from 400 to 250. So you go, I owe 250, it's worth 750. I've got 500 equity in it. Cash and equity aren't the fucking same. You got 500 if you sell it. Otherwise, you've got a property worth 750, take off 20%, yeah? Now you've got equity. Everybody then goes, and this is the funny thing, you go, oh, we bought a new home in a better suburb. Our family grew. So you left Kellyville and you went to fucking Bondi Beach. You went from the west to the east or some shit, right? And you went and bought a $1 million home. But you need money. So you do this fucked up thing called cross-securitization. Mm. And you borrow the $1 million plus costs on your home. Your home's not tax deductible. You've now only got a 250 debt against your old owner, OC. It's now tax deductible. And so they go, oh, no, no, use an offset account. They'll fucking spend it or it won't be linked, right? So you should. So now you've got $1 million debt and a 250 debt. You go, oh, but I get $600 a week rent. Woo, right? If you sell that, you've got 500 cash. Why would you borrow $1 million of non-tax deductible debt when you have $500,000 sitting in a fucking bag?
Yeah.
Every Australian family does this. Nearly every broker I've ever met tells people to do it because they get the two deals and they get the bigger loan. They don't need $1 million of debt. If you sell the home, what you can do is borrow $1 million or 800, but you don't have 500. Then your borrowing capacity multiplies because you don't have the little 250 here. You don't have $1 million of bad debt here. You've now actually got 500 debt or 400 debt. And then you can debt recycle, redraw, use your equity, and you can go and get two or three. Your old home isn't a fucking investment property. It's so shit that you moved out of it. You go, oh, but my kid's heights are etched into the door frame. Call a carpenter, rip the fucking door frame out and put it in the new garage at the new house. You don't even like the area anymore. And guess what? It's got a shit rental yield because it's an owner-occupied home. It's got a pool, it blows up. So most of my, you've seen ladies and families on stages with 15 properties, 21 properties. Like,
yeah, how are they
forklift
doing
drivers from Penrith had 22 articles in the media. We always sell the old home while it's not subject to capital gains tax.
Yep.
Right? You don't hang on to it and go, oh, it's an investment. And that's why all investors get stuck at two. Any brokers out there, agents, talk to your broker. Do a borrowing capacity on mum and dad keeping their old home and the rent they get and the big new non-deductible debt. I want you to do that capacity. Fine. Now what I want you to do is pretend in the scenario you sold the old home, drop the debt on the new home, and now go out and go, can they borrow $1 or $2 million and get $1 or $2 grand of rent? Just say dollar for dollar. I bet you their capacity goes from having the old home and the new to having the new with less debt and two or three investments. Soon as you actually learn this, and I taught you that or someone else teach, soon as you do that capacity, your whole advice model will change as an agent and as a broker.
And so let's say someone gets to that point where they understand how servicing works with good debt, bad debt, they've sold the old home, they've got an owner OC. What types of investments would you recommend people buying and in what name or entity?
Yeah, so I'm a bit of a anti when it comes to trusts and all that sort of shit. I think there's too many people out there selling that as a business model. The 14 properties I bought in one location, I've been buying, selling on the Gold Coast when everyone said, oh, don't do the Gold Coast. Don't do it in your personal. They're on my personal name. I pay a fuckload of tax in my personal name. I want all the tax deductions in my personal name. Now I've got trusts, I've got family, I've got all this other stuff, right? But for the average mum and dad, why would you buy in a trust? Risk mitigation. Do you have insurance on your car if you hit somebody? Do you have income? You know, like, for the average mum and dad, why the fuck do they need a trust? Are they a brain surgeon? Are they a lawyer with access to a trust account? Do they pay? Now, I know it's contrary to a lot of people, but I'm doing the right property-wise, right? Mm.
And what about for when you have funders that will exclude?
Yeah, so they'll exclude. This is the new gimmick going around at the moment, right? They'll exclude business liabilities, business debts, etc. Yeah, it can get you to a certain point, but it'll also stop you at a certain point. So you've got to factor in, for some people, it's the right strategy. You go, yeah, I can get an unlimited amount of properties. When you get to five or six, let me know how you're going. There's this forum called Finance and Coffee, right? I'm in it. I try to help people every now and then. Go, oh, thanks for commenting. I DM them. I don't sort of post publicly in there, and I help people who genuinely have a question, and I'll send them a message. And there's all these Australian Broker Network, all these forums. Some of the things you see in some of these forums are great. They're really productive. They're a colleague's helping another colleague get an outcome for mum and dad. I love that. Some of the shit in some of these things you see in Whinge Pool or Whirlpool, all these forums, it's like, fuck, right? There's always gimmicks and there's always results. So you just got to be careful that the answer is, where do you tell them to invest? Where should they invest? How should they structure their lending? It's unique and specific to each individual circumstances. Now, what I ask an accountant or advisor when a client comes to me and says, I want to buy an HSA, can you please tell me the quantifiable mathematical benefit to buying in this entity? And if the accountant can't send an email under PI cover saying you will save 10 grand a year in tax due to this structure, if they can't tell them that and the client can't understand why they're doing it, should they be doing it? What's the quantifiable benefit? Now, if they can and say, yep, we're income splitting, we're this, or if they just say, oh, it's risk mitigation in case you get sued, fucking grow up, right? Like, we're not America. Like, how many people do you know every day that are suing? You know, it's not like you boys get pissed off tomorrow and decide to sue each other. You know what I mean? Like, you have a Barney or something, you just stop talking to them. You got insurances, you got PI cover. Like, I'm highly likely for someone to want to sue me all the time. I get on RP data at my events and show people 20, 30 properties I own. Just for fun, because someone goes, how many properties do you own? And usually that's the husband, and then the wife will elbow him at about property 20 or 30 and go, you just got fucking burnt, right? But it's not an ego thing. It's a cool, I'm happy to show you. I'm not a pretend advisor or I bought this one for this. And so look, so make sure your advisors are doing it. I don't think that there's any one structure that's right for any one person as a, you should do this because your capacity is endless, right? Because when I was talking about that forum, I said people were going, hey, I've got a client who's got to their fifth property and this bank will no longer operate this trust structure or commercial lending that services on rent alone. You know, these things work to a certain extent. Then people go, oh, that was great. Now, they're a good gimmick to help clients for maybe 0 to 3 or 3 to 5, okay? In some cases then, you max out with a lender. So let's say there's only 3 lenders in the country right now that would operate that structure for you and you want to get to 100 properties. You can probably do 5 with each lender because they're going to cap you. So what happens when you get through the 3rd lender? Your whole strategy is now fucked. Now, then you got to find a non-conforming. So it works. You know, there's some cool buyer's agents out there, know them really well, good guys, brokers, a lot of us doing that. But most of my stuff I'm doing in my personal name and I show it to people on RP Data. I've got companies, I've got trusts for different purposes, joint ventures. I just think that mum and dad KISS strategy, keep it simple, silly, right? Like, where do you earn tax as a mum and dad? Like on your income, where do you want depreciation and tax deductions and all of that? Once you build a bit of a portfolio, then you can look at more complex structures. Unless your advisor, buyer's agent, accountant, broker can tell you mathematically the quantifiable benefit each financial year, or on exit, then I don't suggest it. And I find I struggle to get that in. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, I agree.
I think if it's just for borrowing capacity, big tick, sweet. But then I say, if the bank wouldn't give you the money to buy in your own name, but you went and did it in an entity and got the money, you're going to be one of those people that takes 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes. You're going to be like, oh, what did I do? I couldn't afford it. Oh, the bank fucked me. Where's the accountability? See where I'm going? Like, so I'm pretty simple with this shit. I pull it down and go, well, if the bank says no in Bob and Mary's name, but Bob and Mary got fucking excellent property trust and went and got the money and the bank just went tick. When shit goes pear-shaped, those advisors are the first people that are going to get fucking hammered. Now, okay, non-conforming loan, no protection under the consumer credit code maybe, but if you see where I'm going, like I like to keep... Until mum and dad have got a couple of properties underfoot, I suggest you keep it really simple. Anything that's too fancy usually can be hairy. Now, if you're say you're a guy like, I don't know if you guys know, Jack Henderson, right? Killing it. Fucking dapper dude, killing it. He'll be using trusts, right? Jack will be using trusts, multiple trust vehicles, etc. Like sharp dude, knows what he's doing. But typical most people, your first two or three properties, you wouldn't structure like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to use a lower deposit. Maybe when people buy their first one, they've got 5 or 10%. They've got mortgage insurance. Maybe they use a government grant. You're not going to acquire your first couple of properties like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but as people become more sophisticated, absolutely they are. But that doesn't mean it's relative to Bob and Mary listening to your podcast or YouTube. Mm.
I have a question around personal branding. What's your personal branding strategy and how are you executing it?
I don't fucking have one. Honestly, like
Have you grown your following?
Hey?
Have you grown your following?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't really do too much. I mean, a client one day called me the money mentor and someone called me the money magician and we needed a name for my book and everyone started calling me the money mentor. So the first book was the money mentor. I've just rewritten it at the moment because I think it's too old. Mm. So I've rewritten it to publish probably February, I think. I think as things get too old, it's not fair to leave them out there. Mm. But yeah, personal branding, besides being the FTB guy, I don't really have one. I think people put too much effort into it and it's like, just fucking be your authentic self. Like people know, I just don't give a fuck. Like I call it a cuddle with a struggle. You come to my event and go, can I be coached? I will rip you to pieces on a whiteboard in the room or the Zoom, right? And I'm not there to impress you and a good coach should do that. Like you should have difficult fucking conversations. People should cry. They should be upset. They should be angry at themselves or disappointed. But for me, my brand has been authenticity. I'm a housing commission kid from the Gong. I've spoken on some of these huge stages and the DMs I get, mate, you actually gave value in those slides. It really helped before. My sales pitch was about fucking 45 seconds long. But like it was like, here's what you should do. Here's some facts of life. Like it's interesting to most people. So I think for anyone out there, if they're a broker or an agent, let's look at some. I tell you who's done phenomenally well in branding, Josh Teslin. Like a Tom Penos, Josh, like those guys are so on point, but Josh is just a beast, right? Like he's a fucking weapon. Tom, so experienced. And I'm talking about other people in the industry because I think you've got a lot of listeners in the industry. Yep. Some really credible guys and girls out there. For me, just be your authentic self.
Mm.
Like, yeah, people go, oh, like if you look at Alex Hormozy now with the nasal things, right? It's like, okay. One of the guys on stage yesterday, Ethan, wears like, looks like indoor soccer shoes, but with a suit all the time.
Mm.
I'm just fucking me. But the one thing I did say yesterday, if I'm ever speaking in, is I refuse to wear a suit. I'm wearing whatever the fuck I want. And it'll probably be a t-shirt moving forward.
Yep.
Like I was so hot on the stage. But for everyone starting out or even along their way, don't get too caught up in, we all listen to the trends, podcast, YouTuber. Just be you.
Mm.
People buy you. People trust you. They don't trust fucking the nasal strips I'm remembered or the fucking Gucci shoes with bees on them. You know, like just be your authentic self.
Mm.
And I think people have got good bullshit detectors now. All right. There's so much information out there and pretty quickly you're like, you like someone or you dislike them.
Mm.
And if you're authentic, and here's the thing, selling isn't about qualification and selling. It's actually about disqualification. So the whole time I'm talking, teaching, presenting, I am trying to alienate at least half of my audience because they're never going to work with me.
Yeah.
Different, right? So I'm very, my branding is contrarian. Everyone's desperate. You can smell the commission breath, right? I'm actually trying to alienate at least 50 to 75% of the audience. I don't want you and you don't want me. You think I'm an absolute fucking tosspot. Cool. But hey, I've got some information that's really valuable to you. Yeah. And if you don't relate to me, you'll go get the information from somebody who you do relate to that butter wouldn't melt in their mouth, or they're funnier, or they're cooler, or they're pretty. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
And the thing that all of my community tell me is you're just you. Like we like I kick people off my sessions, refund them when they've paid for a course because they're a fucking ball ache. Like literally, like people pay thousands of dollars to do stuff with me or a few hundred dollars. And I'm like, hey, if you say something stupid again in the chat bar that's disruptive to the group, you're fucking gone. See ya. And I kick people off and refund them all the time. Live in a room, I've kicked people out of a room. And people will cheer and clap and like, oh, thank you so much. So like, the message I'm trying to get through here and I waffle is be your authentic self and don't be scared of it. Did you guys see Brittany on stage yesterday?
Yeah, she was awesome.
She's a fucking powerhouse, man. She's like awesome. The funniest, like... She's so hurt. If you watch a video, she's rolling around in the warehouse going, oh, get this, get like that authenticity is what blew her up. Mm. Yeah. So people, like, they're nervous and they're like, oh, they want to do a video. Just be you. Your first, mate, my videos are still shit. Like, I hate them, right? Like, I look at them and go, wow, am I that fat? Jeez, if you stuck a pencil up my ass and put my hair up, I look like a troll doll on a pencil. Like, who fucking cares, right? Like, realistically, everyone out there listening, just be you and just fucking own it to the rooftops. Mm. And if you do, you'll find your vibe and you'll find your tribe. I'm not for everybody. I'm for like a tiny percentage of the Australian population. Now I have barristers, accountants, surgeons, people really wealthy, mining, also, but my core, we call it the Infinity family, they're not clients. Like, my core tribe are everyday people that fucking just want to buck the system and do well.
Mm.
They're all right to have a beer with or a coffee with, whatever floats your boat. You know, like, they're just everyday people. So if everyone worrying about brand, you can take it too far. And I will say this, while everyone else is thinking about it, I'm fucking doing it. And that sounds arrogant, but the ship wasn't meant for the harbour. Sail the fucking ship, repair it and fix it while you're at sea.
Hmm.
Just pick the phone up and do your first video.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, whatever you think. Now, I know other people are like, oh, they're branding experts and they're this and that. I mean, if you ask what my brand is, you'd say it's Manic and Bipolar. There's the Money Mentor. There's Infinity Group. There's Graham Home. You know what I mean? Like there's all these different brands. People go, oh, your branding's so all over the place. I'm like, because there is none. I just know my shit and I'm authentic about it. And if I upset you, cool, see ya. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. Like, whatever.
When you were coming up the ranks in the broking industry, what did you do? What were you doing differently to separate yourself from your competitors? Were you doing anything different or just out hustling?
Yeah, the main thing we were doing differently and we still are is I don't believe in someone coming to you, someone ringing me right now today, right, on my website. We don't respond to inquiries. Mm. So you guys in business, right? Who would love to have a business where you ignore inquiry?
It would be fun.
And they have to pay you to talk to you.
That seems pretty good.
Give them a money back guarantee, right? And this is the other thing. Now, I'm very blessed and fortunate. I've built a business model that actually I don't have chats. So if I was a mortgage broker back in the day, I'd be receiving an inquiry. I'd be trying to win them over, playing phone tag, email tag. I'd be driving to their home at 8 p.m. at night and they might not even qualify. As an agent, I'm doing all of that. I'm going to their home. I'm checking out the home. An hour later, I've got my data to go and do my CMA and pitch them. Hey, I think I can get this if I list your property. Mm. I don't understand that at all. Mm. Like, prospecting and lead generation and I'm out there fucking disqualifying while everyone's out there qualifying. Mm. It's contrarian, right?
Out there so disqualifying.
I'm out there disqualifying while everyone else is out there desperately, and sometimes you can smell it on a new person door knocking. They're out there pounding the pavement, hustling to get the listing, or somebody who needs to get their mortgage paid that month and they need to close the sale, right? For me, it's about just give unconditionally. So social media has been my biggest tool, right? And that's been, you know, paid ads. So you can see that people go out and get fake followers. If I put paid ads on social media next week and I give out a free webinar, which is what I usually do every week, right? And I get about 4,000 people register, 2,000 to 2,500 show up every Tuesday night.
Wow.
And I get about 200 to 400 people pay me a fee to do a course once every week. So I can take 1,000 customers a month, potential customers, but I'm qualifying to disqualify, right? And I'm saying on there, if you're a ball ache, don't join. If you're this, don't join. If you want an education that you can self-execute with your wanker, banker or broker, come along with a money-back guarantee and I'll give you all the information. And by the end of it, they go, I get brokers messaging me all the time going, hey man, thanks heaps. I picked up 2 new clients last month because they did your course and they come to me to execute because you're expensive. And I'm like, fucking awesome, man. Go, you do you. Well done. Like, I'm pumped for them. Like, it's not competitive. It should be collaborative. And I say to people, they're like, oh, what do I do? And I'm like, you go find a fucking awesome broker. Mm. And they go, I've got one. I'm like, well, why the fuck are you here? Mm. They're like, oh, maybe they're not as awesome as I thought. I'm like, clearly, because you're here. But that doesn't mean they have to pay me. Mm. I've just been thought-provoking enough for them to go back and get some deeper advice. So my goal there is that I'm upskilling the whole industry.
Mm.
I don't know what they know, but for me, brand, What, and it's, you know, everyone should have their brand, but for me, it's like I'm all over the shop. I'm manic, I'm here, I'm there, whatever. But I'm targeted in my approach that I only want to talk to people if I do one of my social media ads. And it's more too for me about doing a weekly podcast or YouTube with Dr. Andrew Wilson. Like I do an every week YouTube podcast with him just to update. I've got builders that listen to it. Because someone like Doc's expensive to get access to, right? So I want people to have information. I want them to be able to get it easily accessible for free, that they can get off my free webinar on Tuesday, they can ring the bank on Wednesday, and they can fucking pump them and get a 1.29% discount and maybe a cashback. That fucking feels like I get lit up thinking about it, and I'm like, fuck you. But I've had a lady in the chat, I'm like, oh shit, I work in retentions for a bank. I'm going to get flogged tomorrow. And everyone's like, you know, like, and she understood what I was saying, like, ask for a discharge, do this, do that. So, yeah, look, I'm jumping around all over the place, but for your brand, just be you. Yeah.
What about niching in? Like, obviously, you're disqualifying people. Are you, is there a product or a service that you niche in? Or do you just, how do you?
So, for me, here's the funny thing, I said people as broke, as a broker, go, my niche is first home buyers. That's not a niche. It's a fucking market, target market. It's just part of our market. It's not a niche. They call it a niche. For me, a niche is I'm a personal trainer for your finances. I only do a yearly subscription. To see, like, I've built this whole business model around different licensing frameworks of not just selling you a loan and waving you goodbye and sending you a scratchy and a Christmas card. I'm actually holding your hand. I've got to get it right because I'm charging a fee. I'm holding your hand, so I'm like the personal trainer for your money. My team are talking to you every week. You can ring in and say you need a new car today and this is the three best quotes you've got. We'll go beat that quote. We'll go get trade values on your car, beat those trade values in Australia, and we'll drop the car to you with a bow on it and take your old car from your driveway. It's part of my service because you're busy. Go get the three best quotes you can in Australia. I'll beat it. Go get the three best trade offers. I'll beat it. I'll do the asset finance loan for you and I'll get the car delivered to your driveway. It's fucking service, isn't it?
Wow.
So I do so much more than anyone could put their finger on. People don't really know what we do under the hood. You need a new TV? We'll go shop for the best TV for your needs, look for the best deal. We're a full-time financial minion for our community. You don't spend money without us trying to figure out the best way to do it.
So the loan's just the fucking 1% of the whole...
The loan's just a means to an end for your home that you want to pay off quicker. It's all this other shit I do that everyone doesn't do that makes me different, and it makes the result different.
Were you doing that sort of stuff straight away when you started, or did you wait till you had cash flow where you could afford someone full-time?
Straight away, and I fucking hemorrhaged money.
Okay. What does that mean?
Hemorrhaged money, like leaking, yeah. So... when we started in Port Macquarie, my wife's from there, our first couple of hundred clients were, well, first couple of clients, we had 30 clients in 30 days in Nan and Pop's lounge room on the floor. And then she was doing it. So she used to, before we had tech, right, because tech's the cool thing now, fintech, she used to sit down with our client's statements every month all over the floor in the boardroom. We had a little office and we'd have highlighters and we're like, orange or pink was bad, they broke their budget, green was their budget payment. And then orange and green was question. And we'd go through every fucking statement for our core original clients and figure out when they overspent, underspent, you name it. And so it was old school, like deep, genuine care. Why the fuck did you go to the casino and spend money last week? It was a boys' trip. Or like deeply, I want people to win. And so does my wife. And so that level of care where you ride alone as a broker and you don't talk to them again, you're going to lose that client. It's no different to being a real estate agent and winning the listing and helping them sell their home, and then maybe you find and you help them buy their home, and then you just disengage. Like, if you don't maintain a relationship with somebody in today's time, and I mean beyond a scratchy and a card, I mean a fucking true authentic relate. And if it's not you, your person, you're training to become you, if that's fair. So yeah, what we do is so much deeper. I'll give an example. We spoke on stage yesterday. The night before, Dalton House here at Pyrmont, I had 800 people in a black tie gala ball event. They all flew themselves in from Western Australia, Tasmania. These are my clients, right? And I put that on, three-course dinner, charity auction, and I bought, I don't know if you noticed yesterday when I come out on stage, it was a bit louder than everyone else.
Yeah, it was fucking half the room was half standing up for you.
And I said, stand up if you're working with me. And everyone's like, because everyone thinks it's too good to be true. I paid for 800 tickets to that Richard Branson event yesterday as a gift to my clients. The night before, we're all in tuxes, we're all in cocktail dresses. I did an awards ceremony where I gave out 158 awards over a three-course gala dinner from like 6:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. for my community. And that cost me fucking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you know what everyone's saying? My old broker gave me a $1 scratchy in a Christmas card. My broker only just sends me an automated email. Now, I'm not saying everyone, you need to go spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. When we're in Port Macquarie, I put on a lunch and I had the local cafe across the road do the catering, and we went to Dan Murphy's to buy the alcohol. So, like, it could be a fucking sausage sizzle. I mean, who doesn't love Bunnings on the weekend just for the snag, right? I shit with tools. I'm like an ashtray on a motorbike. I'm useless. I tell my wife I'm going to Bunnings, but I'm just getting a snag or four, right? So, like, and I'll post some of it on socials and people will see some of the footage. That some of the people, I feel like I've joined a financial cult. They're all like, FTB. You know, you see yesterday, 800 people still that were comfortable. So they're all wearing Infinity shirts. They're all there like it's like scary, right? But it's like they were blind with minimum payments and now they can see. Because my thing is, in the first 90 days with me, you reduce your loan principal more than you did the entire fucking year before you met me.
Wow.
So keep telling me offset accounts work. You, they don't.
Fucking, this is good shit.
It's all psychological. And once you can help people break through their own bullshit and they know you genuinely care, they'll get ahead. You seen those people on stage yesterday. They volunteer their time. They share. There's 800 people standing up in a room. It was probably 25% of the room. I was like, that's why I made a joke. I went, oh, thanks, Mum, for bringing your bingo club.
Yeah.
Because everyone else in the room would have went, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have had any context of why there were so many people there, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of paid actors if it was fake. So for everyone starting, like put on things for your customers. Do more. Like, so when you talk about a niche,
yeah,
this shit's a niche.
Fucking oath it is.
Yeah, there's like 20, 30 things I'm doing in my business that no one else is in Australia. That's niche, the niches, right? So, yeah, I think brand, niche, all that sort of stuff. I think we spend too much time thinking about it and not executing it. Mm. Like, just like so much could have went wrong for that Christmas ball the other night. Do you know what I mean? Like, people flying up said, hey, guys, I want to celebrate you. We've done really well this year. I want to raise some money for charity and I want to celebrate your results. If you fly your asses into Sydney, I'm going to give 750 tickets out and keep 50 for staff. And you can all come black tie. Fuck, it was hot. I was sweating too. Fucking penguin suit. But everyone's dolled up, beautiful. Now, they don't know yet. We had a media wall at the front. What man puts on a tux every day? And like, but when a man puts on a tux and their wife looks so fucking beautiful and they're all dolled, that's a nice photo, right? So what I've been a bit cheeky, and they'll have them by the time this comes out, is I force them to come early. Had their beautiful photos at the media wall with their husband and wives, or wives and wives and whatever, and each other. And now all of those photos are getting produced at large, high quality, in a frame, and they're being couriered overnight to them as their Christmas presents.
No way, man.
So when people talk about sending a hamper or something generic or a bottle of wine, like, I don't know, like, you probably have on wired a bit differently. Like, I get emotional thinking about that family opening that. It makes me tear to go, there's a picture of them looking their fucking best, but it's got the Infinity Media backdrop, and that's going to take, and it's a beautiful fucking frame, and then there's one, a group photo. Where's that going to take pride and joy this Christmas?
That's insane.
Everyone's going to see it, and they go, what's that? They go, oh, my broker sent me that. Or my buyer's agent sent me that, because we've got a real estate arm to our business as well.
What would you do as a real estate agent? So me and myself based in Kellyville.
Oh, yeah. And a buyer's
agent. I hope none of my competitors are listening. Don't take this idea because I'm doing
it. I know all of their names too, because I used to live in Bella Vista.
No, so. They're not listening. I'm doing it. So yeah, leave this alone. What would you do if you were me?
What would I do?
Something like that.
Small budget or big budget?
Go small and big.
He's got a big budget.
Yeah, he's got
small and big.
Let's go small. So small. Okay, everyone's door knocking. Everyone's pamphlet dropping. everyone's social mediaing, right?
Mm.
That's a community that there's certain demographics in that community that you can relate to really well and target really well.
Mm.
I'd be thinking about the demographics of my community, and I'd be thinking about community events and festivals, right? Everybody wants to be a part of something, yes or no?
Yes.
Mm. Give you a good idea. Do you know who Andy Frisella is?
Yes.
Have you heard of Summer Smash from First Form?
No. Oh, yes, I have.
He does a party every year. So I'm doing this next year on the Gold Coast. So I did 800 people this year, okay? And instead of doing 800 people in tuxes and sweating and falling into a puddle, what I'm going to do next year on the Gold Coast is like a park, food trucks, tents, fucking bring DJs. I'm going to do a fucking festival of the Infinity Family. Yeah?
Wow.
A festival. Cool. And make it over like a weekend, fly people Friday. People will fly in for that shit. Now, so go smaller scale, right? Because you'll see this next year, but smaller scale. If you've got, say, for example, I know a really good thing that I've seen happen around Diwali recently, right, in a particular area for someone. I've seen some stuff for different religious dates and events. I've seen some community stuff, jumping castles. You know, you got, what's it called, Bella Vista Farm up there. I don't know if they still use, like, you've got these things you can do that, maybe it's some jumping castles, some food trucks. Maybe there's somebody well-known. I mean, I won't get into names, but you see people on stage just talking about celebrity branding and all this sort of stuff and wanky stuff. Everyone's a gun for hire.
Mm.
You could hire somebody for next to nothing. I'm talking a couple of grand. When I say next to nothing, sorry, as an agent, but if you're up and coming, you could make an investment for a couple of grand to get a high-profile sports person to do a talk. You don't even need a stage, do you? It could be in the shopping. It could be an autograph signing. It could be the. Now, I'm telling you, you can go get one of the NRL players or Matilda's players. Like, tell you what we should do? Fucking invest in women's sport. Honestly, they're fucking guns. Now, you go get someone awesome like a Kaya Simon who's from Western Sydney, right? Or an NRL, and you get an NRL guy and a Matilda, you can get some fucking grassroots Aussie athletes that grew up in the hills, and you do an autograph signing and a day in the park. You can get council to give you the park for free. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to get Dylan Brown.
So all of this.
But you see where I'm going? Yeah. Like, and people are like door knocking and fridge magnets and social media. I'm like, about you give something to your community to let them suss you out? Give unconditionally. And if you give unconditionally, you may just find a few people you develop a relationship with, and then trust will form. And when they do want a list, who will they think of? The person who does a monthly or quarterly community event and feeds people and does this and does that and gives kids access to photos with athletes and superstars, or like you could find an up-and-coming singer who could be singing a lot. Like, there's some really easy stuff you can do. Now, there's a difference between marketing and branding. Yeah? I just fucking do all of it. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm like, what would I love to go and do on a Saturday morning with my wife and kids that was fucking free?
Figured it out. Both Sides Podcast, park, with Both Sides Podcast interviewee will be Dylan Brown. Bang, done. If any of my competitors copy this and you guess sports star in Kellyville, I'll kill you.
Metaphorically speaking. Metaphorically speaking. Now, if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, follow Andy Frisella, who owns First Form Supplements. He's a bit political and stuff in America, but he's a beast, right?
He's a real deal.
Every time I do 75 hard, I lose like 30 kilos. Then I start eating like an asshole again. So if you look
Favorite meal?
A good spaghetti bolognese.
Bang, bro.
From my adopted family growing up, all my Italian mates, a good spaghetti bolognese. Oh, love it. Guys, everyone listening, like have a look at First Form. Go follow Andy Frisella. His tickets sell out within like 7 seconds every year. He brings in like on cranes, like pulls into the car park of his warehouse, stage, music, and it's actually a healthy version. It's not alcohol. No. They have health food and energy drinks.
All the sports stars are there.
All the sponsored athletes. So if you look at that and then scale down from there and go, everybody wants to be part of something. Yeah, so we call it the Infinity Family. I don't have clients and staff.
Mm.
It's a family and it's a team. The staff are the team, the clients are the family.
Mm.
Now, once you work out that everybody wants to be part of something, can you give unconditionally, you'll build something that you can't break.
Yeah.
You'll become too big to break because you'll have a loyal cult-like following. Mm. Everybody wants to be part of something. We're all outsiders.
Fuck, that was good.
I've got one last question for you.
I don't want to stop. I want to keep like... What, just before you go, what would you do the same thing for a buyer's agency?
Would I do the same thing for a buyer's agency? Yeah, it's target market.
See, we can do investment or own a rock. That's... Or do we just...
But suburb specific or are you everywhere or state specific? Like I'm licensed in multiple states.
So I'm New South Wales.
Yep.
I've got the investment division Newcastle, Central Coast, Sydney, and then owner rocks in
Okay, Sydney. So Newcastle, Central... Okay, so up the Eastern Sea. Okay. So it's a bit different because you're now not just targeting everyone in the community. You're targeting anyone that wants to invest into those areas.
Mm.
Yeah? That's different. So now for me, I'd be running free educational webinars, which is what I do, with a small amount of sponsored ad. Or I would have a VSL, like a video sales lead, you call it, which is an evergreen where you actually record and give for free tips and tricks of investing. Hey, does your buyer's agent do this, 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 this? Does your buyer's agent have access to this, this, this? Do you know most of the real estate that's goody? So I said, I have a joke. Do you know people go shopping for real estate on domain and realestate.com? Mm. That's where all the shit is. It's so good that nobody spoke to you through the local agent when they listed and I bought it on one call, cash unconditional. My clients know that. Mm. Most of the good shit sold off market, yes or no? Mm. Yeah? Mm. So, but the average family thing, put it this way, and I don't want to pick on real estate, but...
Pick on it.
All right, let's pick on it. All right, ready?
Fuck the agent.
The real estate industry. I ask you to sell my home. You're going to charge me a commission to sell my home.
Yes.
It's the only fucking industry in Australia where you get a commission on success and I've got to pay you to market it. Your job's to market it and sell it. And I've got to pay you a marketing budget to market my shit for you to sell to then get paid again. That's a fucked up... I'm not picking on you, but I'm like, hang on. I've got to pay my own photos. You're the professional that's meant to do all of this shit. But then I also look at it and go... Well, okay, I'm the professional, like, but maybe I should charge for my time. And it's like, well, should I charge for my time? And then should I absorb the marketing? Should I charge a flat fee and I cover all? Here's one for the real estate. What if you charged a fee, if you're legally allowed to? I'm not going to get any of it. If you could, and that included marketing and this and like, or there's marketing and the money goes into trust and then it's just, like, it's a fucking weird industry that hasn't evolved.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like you engage someone to sell your asset. It's like going to the car yard and go, hey, can you sell this car on consignment, right, or whatever? Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah, but you got to pay for the photo, the video, you got to pay for the detailing, and I need you to pay for the electricity on the trickle charger because I've got to keep the car charged every day in the showroom. They don't do that. They like the cost of doing business is absorbed in the commission.
Yeah.
I find it bizarre.
Mm. There may be a different way around it. I think the hard thing is with that, is the I've had it happen to me, right? Like someone wants to sell, you put it on the market and then 3 weeks later, they've changed their mind.
Yeah.
Like I actually had one earlier in the year where we actually were on the market for 1 week. We hadn't even called the buyers back that afternoon and they got cold feet, changed their mind, pulled it off.
Yeah.
If I'd spent $7,000, that's $7,000 in the hole for me.
Totally. And this is a really good point because I hear brokers in forums all the time about clawback. Broker writes a loan. Within 2 years, they can lose 100% of the income. One, it's called the cost of doing business. Mm. Two, if you do your job, the client won't leave you. Mm. Now, different because real estate, yes, you could spend $5,000, $10,000, $7,000, $20,000 on marketing the property.
Mm.
And if you don't have that capital in reserve as a smart business person, you're fucked. Mm. So it is unique. It is different. Or, you know, you at least hold monies in, you know, if you were doing it. Because I can tell you now, if I was a real estate agent, I'd bet all the marketing costs and pick it up on the back end.
Yeah, okay.
Why?
Why? If you can get it up front.
Why? Because I want to show you that I'm going to fucking tear shreds off her and destroy him and I back myself so much, I don't want a fucking cent from you.
Wow.
And then I'm going to tell you something else. Get every other CMA that you can, And people are only starting to play this well. And once you get all your CMAs and you go, look, my home's probably going to sell for 900, right? And you say, okay, I'm 1.5, 2.5, 3.5, 4, fuck, whatever on the rocket clock, right? You go, I'm this much to this. I don't know, like whenever I get an agent, I go, cool, so you're adamant you'll get me 900. They go, yep, cool. Every dollar over 930, I'll go 50-50 with you. Mm. And they look at me like I'm mentally disturbed. So you're only going to get me 900. If I make you work your ass off to 930 and you get 960, you made an extra 15 grand and I got 15, I got 30 grand plus 15 I never would have got. I'm fucking up 45, right? Some agent, oh, I'll take 10% of this. Fucking back yourself. If an agent says to me, and you can explain it right, don't worry about marketing. You owe me marketing on success. Now, you've got to have the capital to do it, right?
Yeah.
And there's actually finance products out there now for renovations, marketing, et cetera, to help people with all of that. But you've got to, what's the point of difference? We're all brokers. We're all agents. You know, how did I build a mammoth organization? I did everything differently.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think the community engagement for you is going to be the big one. No one fucking copy them. We're not going to name any names, but stay out of the veil. All right.
We should do a hill. Do you still have the Norwest office?
We still, yeah, Norwest.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do something there. I mean, in the hills too, and you've got the big Virgin gym there and your local F40, all sorts of stuff, right? Yeah. But I think community engagement's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
My question for you, I know we touched on it a little bit, but what do you do on the hard days when you wake up and you fuck, like you've just had a shit day, your emotions are all over the place?
Yeah.
How do you refocus and recenter?
Yeah, that's a good one. Just fucking get on with it.
Yeah.
But like honestly, you can't beat someone who doesn't quit, right? Like I went through all the bullshit and testified and did the right thing, got to tell. Like, you can't beat someone who doesn't quit. So no matter how hard it is, you find that if you do get up on the shit day and eat the frog and push through, like that's the time to shine. If it was easy, fucking everyone would be doing it. Like I did that Christmas party the night before and then I did stage the next day and then we do this today and then I got hundreds of people in a live room tomorrow for 2 days. Now, tomorrow I'll go from 8:30 in the morning till 9:30, 10:30 at night, non-stop on stage unless I got to pee. Right? People go, the fun thing is I don't need to do it. Like when people actually get to know me, I'm like, here's your money back, fuck off. Like, oh, no, but what? And then, I don't want a refund. And I'm like, honestly, you're fucking annoying me. Like, seriously, like, now that's taken me years. Everyone's laughing in the room, right? It's taken me years to get, you guys have all said it. I'm like, see ya. That's my line. I'm like, see ya. No. And the team are like, I'm sorry, we've had to remove you from the Zoom. We need your bank account details to give you your course feedback. And like, oh, no, it's just that. And he's like, sorry, no, just, G doesn't want to work with you. Now, that sounds arrogant, but I know if you're not my tribe.
Yeah.
And everyone giggles and like, fuck, it'd be good to be in that position. I created this position. I decided that I wasn't going to work for free. And if I did engage with you for free, I was very clear, hey, there's no cost for this conversation, but I'm a professional. I'm an expert in these fields. And there's no cost for this. But when we get to the end of this, if we agree that that's beneficial for you, I'm going to give you the invoice and you're going to pay. Right here, right now. That's how I started building my business. I gave the information freely that they would have paid for. They seen value in it and they paid. Now it's grown to, here's all the information for a small, fully refundable fee. Like I think it's cute people drive to someone's house and have an appointment if you're a broker at 8 o'clock at night. It's so cute, right? I won't do that. If you're a broker right now in Australia and you are not using YouTube, Facebook, marketing, LinkedIn, and going out and giving economical updates and investing in asking an economist to come on your podcast, I mean, they don't have a fucking podcast. Like I actually didn't until like 18 months ago. I'm like, nah, fuck that. Now, like I love going out to my community with it, right? So, yeah, I don't know.
Mate,
this is fun, boys.
Fucking phenomenal.
Legendary.
Yeah, this is fun.
Mate, you fucking nailed it. You know one thing that I'd like to get your advice on personally, now with owning the business and managing cash flow, like I do put my business income into the offset accounts, but then you get a bit, the reality is when you're in that situation, like the theory sounds good, but then you start, you
got to be careful, talk to your accountant around Division 7A and director's loans, like, and all sorts of nasty shit. Yeah, you got to be careful.
So, like, how do you budget being a business owner, buying property, fucking trying to grow your media, the brand? Like,
do you have a mentor?
I don't know. Yes and no.
Sounds like no.
Yeah, like, I don't have the... When you said get a budget, I don't have a budget mentor. I've got mentors, but I don't have a fucking budget.
You need
budget.
A money mentor.
I do need a fucking money mentor.
Shit. Cha-ching.
So can people come to us? Can people come to us?
You're drinking the Kool-Aid. See what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm infectious.
Mate, it was like, fuck, I don't know.
You know what's infectious about it? There's no bullshit.
It is.
And I know what I say is mathematically correct. And so because I'm in a blessed position where I don't need the money, I can genuinely tell people to fuck off. No, I don't want you as a client. But I can also genuinely really deeply want to give you value. And I watch people go, dink.
Yeah.
And they're like, I need that guy's help, right? So you need a mentor and you need mentors. I have very well respected, I wouldn't be where I am today without the people that have guided me and are still guiding me to this day.
And who are some of the guys that have guided you?
I won't name names. Yeah. A lot of them are private people, but look, some really good people in the industry. I've always looked up to anyone in the industry to give people an idea, like finance-wise. I always looked up to people like Mark Burris.
Are you with Vow?
Yeah, with Vow. Yeah, Vow and AFG. So I have two credit licenses. So one wasn't enough, right? And that's the thing, like, people are a credit rep. I've got a credit license with AFG and a credit license with Vow. I'm in a couple of camps and I have different products at AFG, different products at Vow, and other products I've created. So, and that's where brokers get the shit. So this guy's like, well, I've got products you don't even know exist. I've got products that have been made for me. They're branded as me. The cards are me. And people go, that's white label. Yeah, but they're not just white label. I didn't take Bank X's loan and put my sticker on it. I made Bank X change all the fucking features and then give me a warehouse.
Mm.
I can give some of those products cheaper than the bank would give them. So people like Burris, who's still having a crack, he doesn't need to work, man. Come on, give him some credit. He's still out there helping, fighting. Aussie John, we'll save you until we sell to Conbank. But, you know, like, I used to look up to people like that. So I think the industry's ripe for someone to disrupt it. I think somebody will make a unicorn and $1 billion business in financial services in Australia. I don't think it's in selling loans. I think it's in financial literacy.
Wow.
Which is why I've gone down that path. I know that what I can do has a massive impact generationally. The people on stage yesterday, the Cherry family, joined me after Goggins in February. In April, when they came to my class, they had a mortgage. They now have no home loan at all, and they've got like 3 or 4 investment properties, and they bought a plaque and engraved it for my wife and I, and wrote a card, and like all 4 or 5 kids in the family wrote on that card to thank me in some way for how their family and their family unit is now.
That's special.
That's fucking, impact, like, that gets me going. That revs me up. So mentors, man. Now, that result is because a mentor's taught me, especially over the last few years, that if you always do the right thing and your intentions are pure and you set out to impact people positively, karma.
Hmm.
Big believer in karma, man.
Because you're not just a broker now, you're a fucking mover. Yeah,
I'm disrupting shit. Yeah. And that's, I don't mind being hated. Like, I like to be a disruptor. Not everyone can do that. You know, I've done some coaching with a buyer's agent who wanted to be like what I was doing and stage and all this sort of stuff. And I said, look, lovely lady, said, you're not ready. She's why I said, because you've got to be fucking hated. You think about it. I said it yesterday and had a giggle. In that room, 4,000 or 5,000 people, however many people, I'd say 10% of them are probably brokers. 10% of them are probably agents and they all think I'm a fuckwit. 1 or 2 of them will message me, will form a relationship and we'll collaborate. 3 accountants messaged me last night.
Wow.
Collaborating with them, talking to them. So mentors and collaborations.
It made me realize I need a money mentor even when you think you're doing well. Like, just the fact that I don't have a budget I'm sticking to consistently is the fact that I made me realize I'm full
of
shit.
One of the big problems is being accountable to yourself or your partner. So it's like driving home in the car. Hey, babe, can you go to Coles? Oh, fuck. Hey, babe, can you go to Woolies? I forgot this. It's 8:45. Let's just order green Thai curry chicken and get a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc. We deserve it. You don't deserve shit. That's that. I said this when we start instant gratification versus delayed. We're all time poor, but we all drive to the fucking shopping centre. Someone burped on the apples, farted on the grapes, dinged your car with the trolley. You get a mocha choco latte and a sushi on the way in and out. It's like, just order your shit that's delivered to the door and put it away and meal prep. So I mean, you need someone that's going to hold you to account. Like, as you can tell with me, it's not a cuddle. I'm not like, oh, there, there, Mary. You're doing so good spending all your fucking money while my trail commissions stay high. No. Mary, fucking stop. Like, seriously, Mary. Like, this is a cuddle with a struggle. This ain't a cuddle. There's some friction here. All right, it's sandpaper-ish. Yeah. But that's what a mentor is. I'm not here to make any friends. I'm not here to make any enemies. That happens too. But I'm not here to make any friends. I'm here to tell people the mathematically best way to get from point A to point Z without being manic, and just do it in the straightest possible line in the shortest possible time. Now, a lot of people in our industries will listen to this as an agent or broker. Oh, this guy's a fucking wanker. Sweet, you do you, boo. See ya. I don't mind. Some of them will reach out to me and we'll collaborate. But hey, I got thousands of clients every year. I'm referring out to 3-4 financial planners. I've taken guys that had 2 or 3 staff and girls that have now got 30 staff because I refer them my financial planning clients. I've got accountants that had 1 staff member that have 26 staff because I refer them my accounting clients. They don't have to look for clients ever. They just come to my events and get 150 clients thrown at them if they're an expert. Now, I also get people reach out to me that are trading out of mum and dad's spare bedroom, and they're like, oh, la, la. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't align with you yet, but come to my events, see if you like what I teach or you think I'm an idiot, and if you agree with some of my philosophies, then maybe in the near future we can work together, if that makes sense. And I love that because I was that guy that was door knocking and hustling. I was that guy that was, you know, hey, if you're a broker, talk to accountants and financial planners, talk to real estate agents, they'll refer to you. I don't take any referral business and I don't respond to inquiries. Like, if I go and rate rate my agent for mortgage brokers and for agents, I think it's a great tool. Like, I know brokers have only been on it for 2-3 years. I've won it year 1, year 2. I'll win it again this year. I think like things like that are really powerful, like verified real reviews that people can go, no, you're shit, here's a 2, or no, you're good, here's a 5. But yeah, man, you need mentors in every aspect of your life. An Olympian has somebody that does their, think of this, if you're the 100 meter sprint, you have someone who does nutrition. You have someone that does your actual running. You have someone that does your recovery, and you have someone who just does conditioning. Fast twitch for like you will have a fucking team of experts for you to win that 100 at the Olympics or to come last, but you still got a team. And that's the thing. Even the person who comes last has a team of experts.
You're a beast.
Thanks, man.
Fuck the...